To a sacred place. We are now in sacred space. We are living in a state of grace. We are loving in a sacred way. We love you, beloved. We love you, beloved. We love you. Well, I'd like for you to take a moment, envision that before you, on the table or the counter, on the floor just ahead of you, you see our temple candle, and you see the flame suddenly become lit. And as we light our temple candle, it signifies the start of our sacred salon. I welcome you to this monthly gathering. I invite you to open your heart and mind and share your gentle spirit, your positive intention, in your heart, wisdom. May your mind be clear. May your heart be pure. And may your body be strong. It is our intention with these sacred services to provide a safe place, to share sacred space, to offer a time you can look forward to and count on monthly to carve out for yourself, perhaps your family and friends too, to be with yourself, with the divine, with a like-minded community, and of course to seek out the divine within to strengthen that connection with deity. With sacred salons, we hope to create an environment where each of us are able for a time to slip out of our commercialized corporate culture and slip into a new culture formed from diverse ethnic backgrounds and a rich variety of poetic, mythological, ritual, folk, and mystery traditions. Here we strive for balance, peace, harmony, and love, so we honor the sacred feminine as primary, complemented by the divine masculine, and thus our services are open to people of all faiths, traditions, and spiritual backgrounds. Each month we'll introduce a new deity and concept, with this month, February, our focus being on our quest for love. So to set the tone for tonight, let us go back to the beginning. When the first relationships between the divine, women, men, and all that lives together on earth were formed. In this new beginning, goddess and God sit upon their throne together in wholeness, balance, and harmony. In their love for each other, they vision humanity, and from their thoughts, they simultaneously create Lilith and Adam, the future mother and father of us all, from the clay of Gaia, of Mother Earth. They are created equally, and Goddess and God imbue the first couple with ideals of love, compassion, and respect for each other and all the creatures that live in harmony on earth. Lilith and Adam are encouraged to know the divine and see the divine within themselves. Goddess and God instruct Lilith and Adam to pick the fruit from the tree of knowledge and impart their wisdom to their children, whose faces are white, black, brown, yellow, and red. the first couple teach their children they are stewards of earth, and it is their responsibility to care not just for each other, but for all the creatures that inhabit their sacred garden. Suffering, inequality, injustice, sin, and shame are not part of this beginning. This reality is one of love. Had this been the creation myth we all grew up with, the world would be a very different place. So let us suspend disbelief for today as we talk of the many faces of love. Love for ourselves, for our own families, our human family, and love for the divine. Let us be together here in a sacred space where this myth is our past, our present, and future. Let this be our new truth where we have learned to love each other, the divine, and everything on earth from the very beginning, as if we want there to be nothing stopping us from making this creation myth a part of our lives and the source from where our love flows. We have forgotten who we are. We have forgotten who we are. We have alienated ourselves from the unfolding of the cosmos. We have become estranged from the movements of the earth. We have turned our backs on the cycles of life. We have forgotten who we are. We have sought only our own security. We have exploited simply for our own ends. We have distorted our knowledge, and we have abused our power. We have forgotten who we are. Now the land is barren, and the waters are poisoned, and the air is polluted. We have forgotten who we are. Now the forests are dying, and the creatures are disappearing, and the humans are despairing. We have forgotten who we are. We ask forgiveness. We ask for the gift of remembering. We ask for the strength to change. We have forgotten who we are. O Earth Mother, we praise thee. That seed springs, that flower opens, that grass grows, we praise thee. For winds that whisper through the shining birth, through the lively pines, through the mighty oak, we praise thee. For all things, O Earth Mother, who gives all life. Goddess, help us to remember that others don't always see the way we do, hear what we hear, feel what we feel, or understand things the way we've come to understand them. You give each of us gifts that are uniquely ours, but so often we fail to value the gifts in another, judging other gifts as wrong or somehow less important than our own. Give us the compassion you want us to have, O Mother, and teach us to embrace each other with compassionate arms, no matter what our age, color, creed, history, or belief. Help us to remember that you are life itself, and that you are using every one of our unique gifts to bring us together with you once again. There is no one way. I repeat that, there is no one way, because it is vital to understand that, to believe that, to know that in today's world. Excuse me. There is no one way to embrace, engage, and acknowledge the divine in our daily lives. We gather in a sacred salon to nourish our souls, to come together in community to uplift our spirits. We use moments such as these to take time out from our busy lives, to help that connection with deity to manifest, to bring alive the memory of the teachings of the past, and to continue benefiting from this now and in our future. We encourage you to seek your own best path to the divine. Remember that it is always both within and outside ourselves. It surrounds us and permeates us. We are never alone. Besides reclaiming the knowledge and wisdom of our ancient ones, we also should remind ourselves of these values and how they pertain to our current reality, how they're relevant. And even the most experienced of us have things yet to learn. So we invite you to join us as we share our experiences to help you to facilitate your own journey. Now again, I'd like to call on you to visualize three candles before you. The first candle is our concept candle. Imagine yourself lighting that candle. And we light it to acknowledge tonight's focus, the many faces of love. Go ahead and light your candle. Now turn to the second candle. It's the divinity candle. And tonight we light the divinity candle and we honor goddesses of love everywhere. But particularly tonight we will speak of Aphrodite and invoke her essence. So I encourage you to envision lighting your divinity candle. And the third candle, we call that the perpetuation candle. Go ahead and light your perpetuation candle, because as you light that candle, hear my words and think these thoughts. Let us go forth from today and carry love to those we meet. Let us try to support and nurture others, bringing them aid and comfort, even when it's not easy or it means or it seems impossible to do so. Because when we put forth love into the world, it reverberates and echoes. It sets a tone that can strengthen and fortify. Take a moment and visualize your three candles, whether they be in your mind's eye or whether you have actually lit three candles. Great Mother, make us strong in spirit, courageous in action, gentle of heart. Let us act in wisdom. Let us conquer our fear and doubt and discover our hidden gifts. Teach us to meet others with compassion, be a source of healing energy, and to face each day with hope and joy. Let us remember we are each a part of the divine. We are each a part of the cosmos. We affect each other and the world around us. With that comes a great responsibility. Let us pray that we may at all times keep our minds open to new ideas and shun dogma, that we may grow in our understanding of the nature of all living beings and our connectedness with the natural world, that we may become ever more filled with generosity of spirit and true compassion and love for all life. We pray that all of humanity one day feel the pulse of Mother Earth in their feet as they tread, and that humankind find the faith to believe in the messages carried by their dreams and see beyond the invisible world. Now, before we go into our meditation tonight and the rest of the Sacred Salon, I'd like to let you know that we will be doing that. So, again, as I suggested before, find a comfortable place where for a short time here you won't be interrupted. And I'd like to just speak a little bit before we go on to our meditation and the rest of the Sacred Salon, talk a little bit about our eternal quest for love and wholeness. Looking back into the past of many cultures, we see the divine source embodied in both the masculine and the feminine. Omitotl, an androgynous Aztec creator deity, embodied the principles of both the divine masculine alongside the sacred feminine. We often see images of the Hindu goddess Parvati and the god Shiva embodied within one statue, with Shiva himself often depicted having a very androgynous appearance. Examining a culture perhaps a bit more familiar with us in the West, we take a closer look at Aphrodite and Eros, also known as Cupid. Eros is sometimes thought of as the son of Aphrodite, but he really is an enigma. Eros was first mentioned as an early creation god appearing alongside Gaia and Chaos. He is said to be hatched from the egg of night, the force that separated the two halves of the cosmic egg, or heaven and earth. Similar to Aphrodite's appearance at the birth of creation, she and Eros are placed at the moment of disunion of the cosmos. They are depicted as hermaphrodite beings descended from the moon, sliced in half by Zeus, after which each half yearns and searches for the other half, their other half, to be complete. I was reminded of the dichotomy of love and disunion again as I walked through the Louvre Museum in Paris and I gazed upon the statue of Hermaphroditus. Hermaphroditus is one of the famous pieces of art in the Louvre. At first glance, one might easily miss the full potency of what the statue represents and the deeper meaning it might tend to convey. Because you see, when you approach Hermaphroditus from one side, her backside, she appears to be a beautiful woman lounging on a beautiful divan or couch. But then when you walk around the piece of art and you look at Hermaphroditus from the front, you see the woman also has male genitalia. Hermaphroditus never fails to elicit stares and whispers from museum goers, with most never really learning the story behind this work of art or thinking beyond their immediate titillation. But let me tell you the story. Hermaphroditus was the son of Mercury and Venus. When the boy was 15, he and the nymph Salmasis were so in love with one another that they prayed they would never part. Hearing their plea, the gods took action, and when the pair embraced, the two became as one, with a body, both male and female. While some just see this as a simple story of two young lovers, there are varying ways to look upon this in the aforementioned myths if we want to mine the depths of the symbols and meaning within these ancient love stories. Some see this joining of Hermaphroditus and Salmasis as simply a reflection of every man and woman, or they might imbue their joining with deeper meaning and see them as embodying the divine order and balance. Order and balance. Still, they might represent the ultimate symbol of the hierogamous, or sacred marriage, the divine mystery of procreation, our life force, later deemed corrupting, taboo, or a sin in the Bible. The joining of Salmasis and Hermaphroditus, like Parvati and Shiva, Aphrodite and Eros, or Amitakutali and Amitakutalat, the Aztec deities, could be looked upon as representative of the true and natural essence of the divine source, which embodies both the divine masculine and sacred feminine together as the one. Taking that a step farther, both man and woman, whether joined together in their divine separateness, were both equally created in the image of the supreme being, the creator, the creatrix. It's only the Judeo-Christian patriarchs who conveniently omitted half of the spiritual equation from their creation myths as they sought to elevate man above woman and unbalance the natural order within creation. Patriarchy's choice of disunion and disharmony is seen by many as the catalyst creating the chaos and negative reverberations heaped upon us today for having swept the sacred feminine from the world stage and from so many human psyches. On a personal level, the stories of Aphrodite and Eros and Salmasis and Hermaphroditus certainly reminded me a great deal of each person's continual yearning for love and their burning desire to be enveloped within love's womb of warmth. This seeking might be referred to as unrequited love or our search for our soulmate. But even more than that, it speaks to the necessity for each of us to not just find love outside ourselves, but from that source where it lives within. Even if it might be buried deep, it reflects the importance of embracing wholeness, sometimes referred to as the masculine and feminine within ourselves. That's wholeness, embracing the masculine and feminine within ourselves, whether we be man or woman. Perhaps taking it a step further, it might suggest when we are comfortable in our own skin, and accept and love ourselves, then we are able to love one another, to reach out beyond our immediate circles and have love for humanity or the divine. I want to refer you to my book, Walking an Ancient Path. In the water section, I discuss bringing love into our lives and finding healthy partnerships. There's even a checklist there for you to give you some food for thought, so that you can think about your relationships and ask yourself, are they healthy? There are also prayers and practices to help you bring good relationships into your life, even an opportunity for self-reflection. Are you acting in a healthy and proactive way toward yourself, toward others? Well, I'm going to turn to page 151, and I want to read an Aphrodite prayer. It's called Aphrodite's One With You Body Prayer, and it goes like this. Mother, I am your daughter or son. Hear me now and hold me close in your loving embrace. May my mind be clear so that I may be aware of you and stay true to myself. May I learn to discern truth, recognize what holds true value, and show gratitude. May my eyes see beauty and the goodness in all living things. May only words of love and integrity pass my lips. May our hearts beat as one, as I am filled with your love and love for myself and others. May I have the will to dare and tenacity to see things through. May I be fruitful and know the ecstasy of creation from that which I birth into the world. May I be generous, compassionate, and loyal. May I know the touch of a lover's soft embrace. May my hands perform acts of kindness and service to others. May my legs have strength to carry me down the pathways of my life's sacred journey. May my feet dance lightly upon your body with each step a celebration of life. May I see my body as your holy temple, strong, healthy, and whole. Mother, surround me in your loving light. Guide me and teach me to be an instrument of your love, strength, and wisdom. Mother, I am one with you. Aphrodite's body prayer. In the invocation I'm going to share with you in a moment. Well, they can be, printed out from my book if you have it and used on your home altar, on your dressing table, or spoken as you meditate upon a body of water, or even emerge from your ritual bath. If used at your altar, you might want to light a candle as you speak aloud the words, which are powerful tools of manifestation, and it helps to perpetuate empowerment and healthy psyches. Now, as we start to prepare ourselves for the meditation, I'd like to invoke Aphrodite with the invocation that's on page 152. It's called Calling Love into Your Life. I invoke thee, Aphrodite, goddess of life and love, pleasure and happiness, you who wear the images of the creatures of land and sea upon your gown, sewn with the colors of the rainbow, encrusted with jewels of the earth at your hem. Your crown, or the walls of a city, they reflect your powers of divine authority and protection. Each day you watch over and bless all your children. Fill me today and every day with your passion, knowledge, and beauty. Help me to realize my fullest potential so I might manifest the dreams and pleasures I deserve. Teach me to treat others as I would want to be treated, perpetuating goodness in our world. Banish from me fear or jealousy and dispel loneliness from my heart so that I may not falter in my path. Bestow upon me self-love so that I may be true to myself and might honorably love another. Fill my life with the love and comfort of good friends and assist me to be loyal and true. Send to me a worthy lover who supports and nourishes my body, spirit, and mind. Aphrodite, beloved goddess of relationships, hear my call and guide my path. Lead me toward healthy partnerships, providing hope, happiness, and pleasure. As I will it, so shall it be. Well, I hope you enjoyed that. And I'd like to share one other thing. As you are probably gathering from what you've been hearing me speak aloud, this idea of the quest for love, it's not just about the quest for soulmate. It's about the quest for self-love, so that we love ourselves, because it's only when we truly accept ourselves and love ourselves that we can love another. But it's also about reaching out beyond ourselves, beyond our immediate family, maybe even beyond just, you know, our immediate social circle. It's about caring about what happens to other people around the world. We must learn to love ourselves and stand up and stand up for values that care and support one another. And that often means being an activist sometimes, or at least more of a participant in affairs outside our immediate circles. So I ran across an article today that I want to briefly talk about just a little bit before we get to our meditation, because it really gives us important help, guidelines, because we're at an important time on planet Earth. Humanity is going through a paradigm shift. We are living it every day. That's why you see so much happening in the news and the headlines. And an elder had told me once, it's almost as if we are perched at the tip of a knife, and we can fall either backward into the dominator culture that we've been living in, where so many people are oppressed and can't reach their fullest potential, or we can fall the other way. We can fall the other way into a society of caring and sharing, a society that values the ideals of the sacred feminine, which those ideals are caring and sharing and fairness and wholeness and peace and justice and equality, partnership, negotiation, all of those things. That's the kind of world we want. So, sometimes we have to stand up and be counted and speak for those sacred values. We have to become her sacred roar and demand that be the way this paradigm shifts, so that the many benefit from life on Mother Earth, not just the few, as it's been for so long. So anyway, this article that I ran across today that I thought was appropriate to briefly talk about tonight, it was from a website called alternet.org, and the name of the article is 10 Ways to Spark Change in a Post-Occupy World, and it's by Sarah Robinson. And I'm just going to mention quickly mention these 10 ways to spark change, to sort of push us, you know, into that paradigm shift in the direction of the sacred feminine, so that we have a world of love and peace and wholeness, rather than an oppressed world where so many people suffer. You know, which has been the case, for so many. Because, you know, millions of children go to bed hungry every night. Millions of children don't even have clean water to drink. So many families have lost their homes. And you know what? There are so many people who are so wealthy. And when they hear about poverty, they just say, oh, those people, they must be lazy. They mustn't be trying hard enough. Well, you know what? There's more to it than that. There's lots more to it. So anyway, these are 10 ways to spark change in our world. The first is to realize that the world is different, that the rules have changed, that nothing works the way it did even just a couple years ago. Political tactics that haven't budged public opinion in years, like petitions and street demonstrations, well, the author, Sarah Robinson, reminds us, suddenly they work again. Narratives that seemed unassailable, like, the free market, low taxes, capitalism, well, they're being questioned. So the world is different. The rules have changed. And with the rules changing, you know, we want to try to help encourage and influence society to move in a better direction. And the second thing she says, we cannot despair, because despair is a waste of time and energy. She says anger can be useful. It gets our blood moving. It gets people out of their chairs and into the streets. we can harness quickly that anger into construction action. It's fuel that drives change. But anger, once generated, also cools, and it can turn into frustration and cynicism and despair. So we can't despair. We have to be aware that once we get angry, we have to use that anger and channel it into something positive. So let's drop the cool and cynical, I've seen it all, let's not get too excited. Let's step back from the pain by telling ourselves sagely that that it's all too much. Our enemies are too strong. There's nothing we can do. We can't let ourselves be fooled with that. That's the lazy way out. Because life's too short. There's a whole planet out there that needs to be fixed. We have to get off our butts and get to work. She says, number three, try everything. Because we don't know what's going to work. We don't know what next thing we actually do is going to make the difference. Of course, there are boundaries. Don't try anything. We're not talking about violence. We don't want to violate our principles or replicate the things that we hate the most that come from the other side. But apart from that, the sooner we get going, the sooner we'll figure this all out, and we just try everything and see what works. And trust our vision. That's number four. Those of us who have a progressive bent, anybody who believes that business as usual is no longer acceptable and that real progress is not only possible but necessary for our survival, well, we have a strong, vivid vision of what the world can look like and what it should become. So we need to trust that vision and not let people talk us out of it or say, you know what, that's too idealistic, that's utopia, that can't happen. The new real rule is trust the dream. Number five, focus on our goals, not on our enemies. You know, that's really important because sometimes we focus so much on the enemy, we don't actually stay positive, and we focus on what we're trying to accomplish. We have a lot to do. We're strapped for time, energy, resources. Every moment we spend focusing on how evil the other side is a moment we're not focusing on creating the new world we want to live in. Number six. Expect resistance. Do you think the people holding power, holding all the money, the people who oppress, the people who don't care about the poor, the people who have bought off all the lobbyists, that have bought off all the politicians, do you think they're just going to roll over and play dead and not offer any resistance? Of course not. You know, they are not going to give up power because they have had it too good. They've had it too good for too long. So anticipate resistance as much as you can and do whatever it takes to steer clear of known sources. Number seven, find and nurture innovators. You know, we're building a lot of new stuff very fast, new politics, new media, new cities, new economic paradigms, new relationships with the planet, new relationships with each other. It's daunting. We need answers faster than we're able to generate them. So if you find people who you believe are leaders, who are innovators, we need to ask these folks to put their amazing brains to work, to do their best, to speak out and support them, encourage them to let their minds wander unfettered and free, give them permission to fail even, because you know what? You have to give yourself that space. You can't be afraid of failure or it'll trap you, it'll paralyze you. So again and again, we must find the innovators, find the leaders, support them, and give them space to create. Number eight, don't expect perfection, because we are creating a new world. You know, there's going to be failures. It might be one step forward and two steps back. It might be two steps forward and one step back. Just don't expect perfection, because that's part of the process too. Number nine, celebrate every win, no matter how small. Pat yourself on the back, because every win matters, even if it's a small win. And number 10, when we find something that works, replicate that success. Even if it's a small win, we replicate that success. Well, these are 10 new rules for a new era. We'll probably figure out a lot more as time goes on in this weird era, you know, that we're coming into as it becomes more familiar. So that was sort of the gist of the article by Sarah Robinson at Alternet. But it felt appropriate to me as we are all trying to find our way, trying to figure out how to change this world into a more loving and caring and sharing place. And, you know, we're all just trying to figure out how to do it because, you know, just because we haven't lived it in our lifetime, it doesn't mean it can't be done. It just means we have to figure it out. And I also want to thank you for your patience. I have had a terrible cold this entire week, and so I'm still a little stuffy, and I'm still struggling with a little scratchy throat, and I tend to, you know, want to cough when I talk a little bit too much. So I'm trying my best to sort of subdue that. But it's about time to get ready for the meditation now. And so I'm going to give you a minute to sort of just get yourself ready for that. I know you've been intently listening there, you know, very, very quietly. And so for the next minute, I'm going to play a little song for the next 60 seconds called Breath of Passion by Zingaya. And that'll just give you a chance if maybe you've gotten up and you've been moving around while you're listening to me. You can get yourself in a comfortable position to start our meditation. So we'll start in just a minute. Here's Breath of Passion by Zingaya. You're part of a circle, you know, you're part of a community, you're part of a grove of some people you know and some people you don't know, but they're all part of your tribe. So let us come together in a circle and take hands as we ground and center. As you breathe in, imagine you are drawing up the energy from the earth. Perhaps envision yourself as a tree with its roots growing deeper into the earth with each breath. Or see a red cord emanating from your body, reaching down into the earth toward the core. See your root or red core going deeper and deeper down through the ground, past the bones of our ancestors, and breathe up into your being the energy, wisdom, and guidance from our ancient tribe. Take your time. You have no trouble moving through the earth, the bones and the rocks. Breathe deeply in and out again and again. Continue to breathe up the energy through the cord as if it were a direct conduit to that great source of energy and life within our earth. It is a direct link to Mother Earth. feel your entire body fill with this powerful energy moving to you from your roots through your red core. Let yourself feel, see, or imagine the energy passing to and throughout your whole body. Perhaps your body is feeling warm and glowing with the energy of the mother as she fills every space from your toes up to the top of your head, as she warms every cell of your being. Savor this connection. Remember, you are a part of the whole. You are a thread in the tapestry of life. You are a microcosm of the macrocosm. Let your chakras balance. See them spinning in unison, soaking in the energy of Mother Earth. Now from the top of your head, using your mind's eye, see yourself reaching out into the universe and seek the moon and stars. When you've located them, ask them to lend you their energy and pull that down into yourself. Do this by breathing in and imagining their celestial energy being drawn down through the top of your head or your crown chakra or through the third eye at your forehead. Feel that energy mixing and mingling with the energy you've drawn up from the earth. Perhaps the energy of earth and sky are different colors, and you see them blend and swirl, dancing with each other within your body. Continue to breathe in celestial and earth energy. Savor it. Let it strengthen you, empower you, and ground you. Let it energize you. Bask in the golden glow of the energies from above and below. You are a part of the universe. Breathe and breathe again. Now begin to see the energy from the stars and moon and earth travel around the circle through our hands from one person to the next. Keep breathing. Feel the energy pulsate. Envision the golden circular ring we have made among us as the energy moves from each of us to the others. Now bring your energy back in and let it live within you and let it ground you for our work ahead tonight. If you feel a little lightheaded or woozy, stomp your feet, shake your hands, bring yourself to normal awareness. Speak your name out loud. Now be sure you're in a comfortable space and let your body settle in. Or if you know you like a movement meditation, perhaps place yourself a bit away from the others if you're together with other friends in the room so your movement will not interfere with your neighbor's experience. Let us again take some deep breaths. Close your eyes. Inhale and exhale. Breathe in that what you need or wish for your family or your tribe, and breathe out what you would like to see dispersed. Breathe in prosperity and love, and breathe out scarcity or denial of enrichment. Breathe in nurturing, caring, and sharing. Breathe out judgment and doubt and selfishness. Breathe in love and compassion. Breathe out hurt and anxiety. Breathe in healing and renewal. Breathe out bad habits or beliefs that harm us. Continue to notice your breath. Notice the rising and falling of your chest. Hear the breath flow in and out, up and down. Let your mind and body relax. Clear your mind as best you can so that the movie screen of your mind is blank. Suddenly, though, a picture appears on the screen, and we are about to begin. It's early evening, and the sun is setting. You are looking at a grove of trees just ahead of you. What kind of trees are they, do you know? You might not know the name of the trees, but what do they look like? It's up to you. You decide. Notice the sun setting in the distance just beyond the trees. You can see glimmers of sunlight stealing through the thick branches. There are pinks and golds and mauve as the sun and light dance together on the treetops. Soon you realize you're no longer watching a movie. You are there in this place, safely among the trees, enjoying their smell, their beauty, their sheltering embrace. The trees are standing before you in clusters of tribes themselves. You then realize this grove is a community within itself. Each tree is a little different, but more alike than not. Some trees smaller, some thinner than others, some with more leaves or bearing more fruit, but each a member of this tribe. Some are old and others young. Some have seen much of their lifetime, while others are just blossoming and sprouting. Yet each adds to the lush thickness and beauty of their community. Each is part of the whole of the future they share in common. As you're standing there among the trees, you realize the sun has set and it's becoming dark, but you know you're safely enveloped within the community of the grove. You are just another of the creatures that inhabits this place for this moment in time. You look up and see an owl as she peers down at you with her wide, round eyes. You hear the scurrying of the feet of a little fox in the brush. You feel the lush dampness of the grass beneath your feet when suddenly you realize you hear a faint drumbeat. You strain your ears to hear, and the drumbeat becomes more distinct. It's coming from an area just ahead. So you begin to walk slowly, feeling your way among the ancient sacred grove. As you are walking, you sense you are one with the creatures you can see along the path. These creatures look up at you as you pass, but they are not afraid. They too sense you are one with this grove, as they are too. To the left is a long-eared hare, to the right a deer. You marvel at their trust in you, and you instinctively feel at home in this sacred place. But the drumming is ahead and calling you closer and closer. Finally, you think you can see a glimmer of the source just ahead. You peer through the trees, and there ahead is a clearing. You hear the drums that were once faint getting louder, and you see a giant fire with shadowy figures moving and dancing around the flames. It draws you even nearer. It's beckoning you closer. So you emerge from the cloak of the trees into the clearing and start to see the faces of the dancers and the drummers. They're familiar to you on some level. You recognize them as your kin. They look your way as you approach, and they make welcoming gestures to you to join them. You see them smile, and you feel the warmth of their spirit. You decide to check this out a little closer, and you proceed further toward the crackling fire and those enjoying themselves there. Then suddenly you look up at the flames and your eyes are transfixed on the image that seems to linger there in the firelight among the flames and sparks on this dark night. You see the outline of a woman, but she's not just any woman. She is goddess. What face does she present to you? Isis, Diana, Kali, Hecate, Mary, Aphrodite. She appears in a form that she knows you will recognize. Look at her face and clothing. You notice the movement of her flame-like body, moving to the beating of the drums. She gestures for you to come join her, to dance with her. Dance with her either in your mind or stand up and dance with her with your body. Drum for her. If you are ready, join the goddess. Do not feel shy. Your mother is calling you to celebrate with her under the moon and the stars. She is calling you to rejoice in being here with her, with your community, within your sacred grove. Feel her energy move through you, dancing you, guiding you. Trust her to speak to you through your body, to your heart, to your mind. Hear and feel her rhythms and the beating of the drums. Surrender and release. Let yourself go and feel the freedom of dancing with the goddess. What a gift. Those around you are picking up the pace and delighting in the dancing through the night. She beckons you once more to rejoice with her in the ecstasy of the moment. Breathe. Move. As the pace begins to slow, you begin to move more slowly. Perhaps you sit down, but your mind never leaves this place. You glance upward toward the goddess and see that she is pleased. On her face is a look of love, satisfaction, and pride. She gestures a hand in your direction, and you hear her speak to you. She says, "What gift may I bestow upon you this night, my child? What is it you need from me, for I am your mother? Just ask it of me." So take a moment, search your mind, and think, what do I need most for myself, for my family, for my tribe? Take a moment and think. And you speak it to her with your mind. She knows what you say. You just have to think it to her. She smiles back at you, brings her hands to her lips, and sends you the kiss of a promise on the sparks of the flame dancing at her feet. Then suddenly, as quickly as she appeared, she is gone. Suddenly you look around and notice the drummers and the dancers of your tribe have disappeared too. You are alone under the bright light of the moon and the stars above in the clearing of the sacred grove, but you are not afraid. You remember your way back through the sacred grove and you begin to retrace your steps back. You walk back with the dewy grass under your feet, catching a glimpse here and there of her creatures in the bright moonlight. You see the hare with her family in the nearby brush. As you walk along farther, you notice you have been walking parallel to a giant stag with an ancient rack of antlers. He seems to be escorting you through the sacred grove. And just as you are about to exit, you hear the call of the owl, a message of goodbye for now. And with that call of the owl, you are transported back to that place from where you began to watch this experience on the movie screen of your mind. Yes, you were back where you started from. You are back seated on the floor, feeling the pillows and the carpet beneath your feet and legs. You are back, but you are returning with a promise from the goddess to help you look after yourself, your family, and your tribe. She has given you a gift of love. Open your eyes now and allow yourself a moment to transition back naturally, slowly, comfortably. Shake your hands, stomp your feet, say your name out loud. Maybe even grab something to eat from the fridge or from the kitchen table. And I hope you've enjoyed this meditation. If you do have my book, it might be fun to use this meditation alone by recording it for yourself or play it back so you can just follow along as I did it for you tonight here on the radio. For our ritual on the radio, as I like to call it, or you can record it for the use of a group so everyone, including the reader, might participate. You know, simply record the meditation on some sort of device, DVD or whatever, and you can play it back and listen in the comfort of your own home. So, you know, I love to hear from my listeners. And I love to know if you are enjoying these salons. You know, I usually don't open up the chat room because it's a little bit too difficult to interview guests and have the chat room going. But I'm going to try to open it tonight and just see if there's anyone out there that might like to send me a hello. And as we start to close tonight's sacred ritual on the radio, our sacred salon, I'd like to just mention the ABCs of love. By loving ourselves and others with respect and worthiness, we can accept our own uniqueness as well as accept differences in others. We can enjoy and express love. We can give without agendas. We can love truly and purely. We can reciprocate goodness. We can trust ourselves and touch hearts. So for the closing prayer tonight, it's called a prayer of remembering. The response is, if you'd like to participate with me, the response is, we rejoice in all life. We remember who we are. And it goes like this. We live in all things. All things live in us. We rejoice in all life. We remember who we are. We live by the sun. We move with the stars. We rejoice in all life. We remember who we are. We eat from the earth. We drink from the rain. We breathe from the air. We rejoice in all life. We remember who we are. We share with the creatures. We have strength through our gifts. We rejoice in all life. We remember who we are. We depend on the forests. We have knowledge through their secrets. We rejoice in all life. We remember who we are. We have the privilege of seeing and understanding. We have the responsibility of caring. We have the joy of celebrating. We are full of the grace of creation. We remember who we are. Well, as our ritual on the radio, our sacred salon, comes to a close, I'd like you to turn your attention back to the temple candles that we lit at the beginning of the service. And I'd like you to vision once again. This time we're going to vision extinguishing the candles and would like to bid Aphrodite farewell, hail and farewell. I'd also like to give credit to the United Nations website where I got these prayers that we said at the beginning and the one at the end. We have forgotten who we are was the one at the top of the ritual, and the one we just said, the prayer of remembering, they're like bookends, comes from the UN website. You can find it there. And also, I'd like to thank Jeff and Abigail McBride. I read some of the lyrics to a song of theirs called Sacred Space at the opening, as well as played Abigail McBride's song, Let the Way Be Open. I'd like to express my gratitude for all of you who listen to the Sacred Salons and who meld your energies and spirits with mine. I've enjoyed sharing this time with you and encourage you to take these messages from both ancient and modern times and apply them as you feel comfortable. And as I said earlier, there is no one way. You are responsible for your own spiritual growth, but in doing so, you not only improve your own life, but you help create a more harmonious world for us all. Our next Voices of the Sacred Feminine show will not be actually next week. I want you to join me for our next show on February 16th. Yes, I'm going to be taking a week off, but I'll make up the show later in the month. But on the 16th, our guests are Doug Cohen. He's going to be talking about finding transcendence in sci-fi films and TV. I thought that might be a very interesting interview. And my second guest on the 16th of February is Donna Hennis. And we're going to be talking about A Woman's Guide to Power, Claim It, Embrace It, and Use It. And on the 23rd, my guest is Greg Garrett. We're going to be talking about the spirituality behind the Harry Potter series. And then later that night, my guest is Emmanuel Itier. He is the producer of the upcoming film called Femme. And then on the 27th, that's the show that will make up for me being gone next week. I'm going to have Jeanette Clancy at the top of the show. We're going to be talking about how Christian language that perpetuates sex abuse and male dominance Let me repeat that so that I say it correctly. Christian language that perpetuates sex abuse and male dominance. And then Jan Aldridge Clanton is going to be with me talking about her new book called The Changing Church, Stories of Liberating Ministers. So I have a listener who has been on for a while, and I promised I would go back to her and chat with her a bit before the end of the show. So I am unmuting you. Hi, are you still there?
I'm still here, yes.
Thank you. Thank you for staying with me through the whole Sacred Salon tonight. Are you a regular listener?
I have listened to many of your shows. Usually I catch them after they've been on. I just today actually listened to the one with Starhawk. And was checking my emails, went, so I set my alarm for this show to make sure that I remembered.
Well, thank you so much. And again, I apologize for my cough. It took everything I had not to cough during the meditation. What did you think of the Sacred Salon? Did you enjoy it?
Well, both my partner, Joe, and I listened. And we took part in the meditation, and yes, very much so.
Oh, wonderful.
It was
wonderful.
Very good.
Thank you so much.
I put out some water and burned a candle and sage in the center of the room so that we could bring in that beautiful vibration.
Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing that, because, you know, that's how I know if, feedback, you know, that's how I know if what I'm doing is working, or if there's a better way to do it, or if, you know, people are enjoying, my intuitive way of doing things. So thank you so much. Well, was there anything else, you'd like to chat about before we, have to close for tonight?
Well, I'm excited about your show up and coming with the Christian Church and perpetuating sexual violence.
Yes, yes.
Women, I'm very pleased about that. And also that I want to mention to you that at the start, before the meditation, everything that you were sharing was exactly appropriate for me anyway, to prepare me to go in that way, because I've been thinking about how to help in a, I'm in my 50s now, I have grandchildren, and how to help, what can I say that hasn't been said? How can I communicate differently? What can I share? There's so much being shared now. And, in the last little while, I've been really, really being quiet out here in my little house out near the forest. And I've been thinking about, I need to gather nearer to the women who are active, to the women who are already out there sharing, and feel that wave so that I can hear myself.
Right. Well, I think we're living in such an important time right now. We used to have the luxury of sort of, maybe sitting back and letting someone else sort of take the lead, maybe because we thought they could do a better job, or we didn't know exactly how to do it or what to do. But, I get the sense, I feel intuitively that, we're all being called to do whatever we can, the best way we can, and we shouldn't not be active because we're afraid we aren't perfect. We shouldn't not be active because we don't know exactly how to do it. There's such a thing as on-the-job training, and so we have to, I think, sort of liberate ourselves and trust ourselves, liberate ourselves from the fear that we might not do it right, because I think it's more important that we get out there and we do, and people hear our voice and hear our message and feel our energy, I think that's more important. And we can't be afraid that, you know, that we might misstep or something, you know, because we can always say, oops, I'm sorry, let me do that again, you know. It's certainly better to do that than, you know, stay in the shadows and, you know, and not let our voice be heard. You know, assuming, of course, that it's safe, you know, and you can, you know, and you can do so, you know, in a safe manner without any risk to yourself, of course.
Right. I did previously for about 18 years. I worked with, I spoke for Amnesty on topics such as abuse women, children, and how to better facilitate healing for the entire family. I've been an active, I was an activist for many, many years. And then an energy switched where I was at people's bedsides who were dying. So I found coming through that journey for about 4 or 5 years, at the end of it, I was sort of, I had to rethink where, refeel where I was going, what was the next step, and that's where I am now. Not meaning to, as one Inuit elder said to me, okay, you have to get off the sleigh and get your own sleigh now.
sounds like to me you have an awful lot of experience and wisdom that you can share.
I'm a grandmother of 9 now, soon to be 10. And I've really been listening to the children, listening to what they're so wise, they're so pure, and they've been telling me a lot of things of, you know, sharing with me, because they're totally invited to be wise, a perspective I hadn't really thought of, and I can't really put it into words, so I'm kind of gearing up to write something really different from what they're talking about with me, all these children, not just my own grandchildren. And maybe that's a part of it. I've gotten really quiet so I can,
so that you can listen.
Yeah, because listening, I did a lot of talking before, lots of talking.
Well, you know, and then you went into your listening phase, and now maybe it's time for you to talk again and share what you've heard, huh?
Well, one night I had a dream, and I'm standing on this balcony, and I heard, I woke my husband out of a dead sleep. I was shouting with a big voice, Maiden Mother Crone. Maiden Mother.
Well, I tell you, go ahead.
And that's when it really got quiet. And I think, you know, to come into that place, because I no longer have that moon time, and there's so many things that you have to quietly, you know, take that basket or the cauldron and let it brew, so that when you go out in the next part, it really is in a loving and life-giving way. And
absolutely. Well, and that's so true. I mean, because I find myself, you know, sometimes I get so angry that I forget to temper that anger and speak, you know, even though I'm angry, to speak with compassion. But I think it is so important, and I'm constantly, as I'm saying this to you, I'm reminding myself that, you know, we never want to become like the people who are, you know, causing so much grief in the world. So I don't want to come from an angry place either. You know, I want to come from that place of compassion and love, because that's, you know, the energy we want to fill the world and move us forward in this paradigm shift.
Mm-hmm. Because even within me, while I'm going through these changes, I'm finding all these tendrils of things of, you know, the Christianized fear of myself. Because
yeah.
I'm a woman, to get to the ancient knowledge that I know I carry, and that all women carry, that all people carry. And I feel it's an important work to do before I head out again to share or take part, do whatever I'm doing.
Absolutely.
And without, you know, I was really uncomfortable because at one time in my life when I was younger, I had to be able to describe what I was doing. And now I can just be with whatever's happening now without having this big description before me. And when I leave it open like that, it gives a chance for the energy to work through me. So I don't plan so much. I have a tentative idea, but it changes.
You sort of follow your intuition and your inner guidance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. Well, you know, if you would like a copy of my book, I would be honored to send you one. If you're calling from the United States, if you'd like to email me at my email address, you know, if you'd like a copy, please do. My email address is KarenTate108@ca.rr.com. Can I ask you your first name?
It's Marsha.
Marsha. Well, if you'd like a copy of the book, Marsha, just email me and tell me that you were the Marsha that, you know, spoke to me on the show tonight, and I'd be happy to send you a copy of my book if you think, you know, you would like a copy. And, you know, I don't know if you've had a chance to check the archives of my radio show. I've actually been here on Blog Talk for quite a while, and when you said you were looking forward to hearing some of the shows at the end of the month about, you know, Christian language and stuff, I actually have done a lot of shows, you know, over the past couple years that talk about, you know, how Christianity has, you know, has damaged women. You know, I've also spoken to a lot of wonderful progressive Christians who are very much with it, you know, and they know about the sacred feminine, they know about goddess, and they're not this, you know, patriarchal institutionalized church. You know, they're more the progressive church that wants women's equality and wants liturgy that represents the goddess and the god. So there's a lot of that in the archives if you're interested, you know, to look, you know, look through. You know, it's really a treasure trove there, because that's a subject, you know, I've talked about a lot with different guests from, you know, from different perspectives. You know, we've talked about Sarah Palin's church and the Quiverful movement, you know, how dangerous that is for women, you know, because women are no more than just, you know, born to breed, and lots of different things like that are there in the archives if you haven't had a chance to find it yet.
Well, I've actually been following, kind of, not following, but making a point to keep in touch with what you've been sharing, and sharing your side with many, many other women and elders and grandmothers, because I felt it's time where the women got together and networked together to bring in this change for our children.
Oh, you're so right. It's like Grandmother Spider, you know, weaving her web of creation. I mean, that's what we have to do again. And, you know, the Dalai Lama said it would be Western women who would save the world. Well, you know, I think it might be Western women, but maybe it might even be something more specific. Sometimes I think it might be, you know, the theology of the sacred feminine, you know, the ideas and values that are the sacred feminine that have been lost, you know, in our dominator culture. You know, if we can revitalize these ideas of caring, sharing, partnership, peace, equality, wholeness, balance, you know, all of these things that are the mother's way of thinking, the mother's ideals, you know, coupled with the masculine, because we need those things too, you know. But to me, it feels like the masculine has to turn into more of a protector than a warrior. You know, he has to be the protector of the family, the protector of the sacred feminine. Not that she can't protect herself. After all, she's Kali, she's Sekhmet, is the Morrigan. You know, she's a warrior herself when necessary. But, you know, we have to shift gears. I know you know what I mean.
Well, I was just going to say something came into my mind as you were talking about that. And an Ojibwa man said, you know, everyone is doing their healing. And apparently when I'm around people, particularly men, it brings out their healing. And when I was younger, I used to wonder, why are you coming at me? But what they're doing is showing me their things they need to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that he was under the impression that at one time, you know, if all things are a part of us and you know, karma and all these things, what did the women do to earn being repressed? And I said to him, well, I'm not comfortable with that. I understand what you mean, and I'm giving it some thought, but I'm really not comfortable to giving women that message for the simple fact of what did a child do to be raped when she's 3 years old.
Right.
So, you know, we must be careful about blaming people who are being victimized, whoever they are, and we're not really victims. We're learning in the process. I understand that. But there's something that really deep that's taking place, and if we can come to our roots again with love and compassion rather than more warriors, then we'll have something great. Because to me, the biggest protection that we'll ever receive from a man, because of that understanding with Kali and all the different archetypes we carry, is respect, honor, truth, and love. And, you know, with that, we'd have everything. We wouldn't have any need so much for this protection.
Wonderfully spoken, Marcia. Wonderfully spoken. Well, I want to thank you.
Karen, could I just get your email address again?
Sure. It's Karen Tate, K-A-R-E-N-T-A-T-E. That's T like Tom, Karen Tate, 108 at... ca.rr.com.
Okay.
ca.rr.com. Well, I want to thank you so much. It means a lot to me that you took the time to speak to me, and I have shared so much. And I thank you so very much for being a listener, because you know what? That's why I do this. You know, I don't do this to hear myself talk. You know, I hope that, you know, what I do every week, whether it's the new sacred salons that have just started or whether it's the guests that, you know, I give a platform to share their knowledge and their thoughts with other people, you know, I'm hoping, you know, I'm doing my little part to help make the world a better place, just like, you know, we all have to. I mean, really, it's up to all of us. So thank you so much. It means a lot that you're listening, Marcia, and thanks to your partner, too. I'm so glad you were there tonight.
And thank you. I think it's a bigger part that you're doing than what you're giving yourself credit for. It's a much bigger part.
Well, you give me goosebumps. Thank you. Thank you so much, Marcia. It really does my heart good. You know, you might have heard me say before, you know, my listeners are gas in my tank. You don't know how much I mean that. You guys, when I hear people say stuff like that, it really keeps me going. You know, I had a woman call me and email me once. She said she lived in a part of the country that nobody thought like this. It was all very strict, conservative Christian. And, you know, she didn't have any friends she could talk to. She couldn't go out and buy books because she was afraid she'd be found out. And she relied on this radio show as like her connection to a different way of thinking, her connection to the outside world. And, you know, I can't tell you how much that kept me going, you know, knowing that one woman, you know, that the show was a lifeline for her, you know. And I can imagine if there's one person like that out there, there's probably more. So that's why I do this, you know, do this once a week. So, but thank you, Marcia. It was wonderful to actually hear it.
Oh, you're welcome. You're most deserving of all compliments. Anyone who's heard you said, oh, she's so clear. And I said, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Marcia. And I'm going to close the show tonight with a wonderful tribute to Aphrodite, a woman who was on my show who talked about sacred sound, Diva Haley. She has a wonderful CD out called Sacred Alchemy. She gave me permission to use some of her songs on the show. So since we invoked Aphrodite tonight and our topic was about love, I thought it appropriate to go ahead and play her song about Aphrodite. So it's about 6 minutes long, but I'm going to go ahead and mute myself so I won't be chatting anymore. I'm just going to, you know, play the song out and, you know, close the show that way. So good luck to you, Marcia. I look forward to your email, and I'll be happy to send a book out to you if you'd like. And, you know, stay in touch with me. When I do the Sacred Salons, I'm going to try to open up the chat room and talk to folks like I did with you tonight, and maybe we'll chat again.
Well, sure. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Good night. And
good
here's
night.
The song by Diva Haley from her Sacred Alchemy album called Aphrodite. Enjoy. And I'll be with you not next week, but week after next. Good night, listeners. Thank you for tuning in.
I'm Aphrodite lounging.